Okay, does any one of you remember where we are?
Well, as far as I know, we're in Zechariah.
Zechariah chapter?
2.
2. Okay. Can you remember what was in chapter 1?
That's another question, isn't it?
To build a house, to build God's house. The horses among the myrtle trees.
We had the horses, the didn't we? Red horses and things like that.
And four craftsmen.
No,
so when we look at Zechariah, there is something that is very important during Israel. What was the main thing in Israel?
Oh, look.
Zechariah had 8 visions. You know what those 8 visions are? If you've read the book, it's a long way to read. Zechariah 1 call to a call to repentance, but Zechariah 2 talk about Jerusalem. It's not a long chapter. If we can or read it, there are 4 of us, we can read it.
This one, chapter 1 or 2?
Chapter 2. Let me see how many verses we have.
3 5, each. 3 verses 13, each.
13. So can we read 4 verses each?
Okay. Yeah, I'll start.
Okay.
Vision of the measuring line. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. 5.
For I said, the Lord will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the 4 winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of the eye. 9.
For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoiled for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused in his holy habitation. I don't know whether you've read it before. What is this telling us? The message that is being sent to Zechariah. First, we look at Zechariah himself. Who is he? We must have had it last week. Who is he? There's a lot of information about where he comes from and then descendants. But for the moment, what we know is a prophet. God is calling on him to give him the vision of the future. If you look at it, verse 2. If you look at it well, if we see chapter 2 says, vision of the measuring line. What line is he measuring? Why does he have to measure the line of Jerusalem?
So you have to see what is this, you know, what is this land, what that means by this land.
Sure.
So what is, and he said to me, measure Jerusalem, and that is to see what is its width and what is its length. And there is a reference, Revelation 11, verse 1.
What he's saying is, remember, Jerusalem was a country for the chosen people. This is where God was leading his people to be the light of the world. That's what the people of Israel were supposed to be. But what happened to them?
Well, they weren't.
You were saying something?
Yeah, just to say they weren't always faithful, and eventually God let the Babylonians carry them away.
Now God is talking about like a contrast between Babylon and Jerusalem. Babylon is going to be destroyed, whereas Jerusalem is going to be, this is what he's saying, measure the length. Jerusalem is going to be the place of glory. So if we look at it in the verse 1 to 8, Zechariah is encouraging the people to build the temple. And we know that has been the problem before, with the temple being built and stuff, and then people get discouraged and everything when we read the history of the people of Israel. But Zechariah was pointing to them the glorious future, not just the temple, but of the coming of the Messiah. So this is what chapter 2 is talking about. Vision of the measuring line. We know that we are borders. What does that measuring line say?
The reference from Revelation 11 verse 1 says, then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there.
Okay, anybody else?
I go to the Bible commentary sometimes, and it does say that measuring Jerusalem was a symbolical act to assure that Jerusalem would be rebuilt.
If, well, to rebuild it, they have to measure the land, but somewhere later we will find out, even though of the measurement, it seems that there will be no borders. Let's continue. Verse 1 to 5. And he said to me to measure the Jerusalem to see what its width and its length, to see the area, the super, what they call the French surface, the area of But the Lord says, there will be a wall of fire around us. Why? And I will be a glory. I will be in a glory. God commanded Jerusalem to be rebuilt. The vision of the measuring of the city was an assurance that it would give comfort and strength to his afflicted ones and fulfill to them the promise of his everlasting covenant. His protecting care, he declared, would be like a wall of fire around them. And through them, his glory will reveal to all the sons of men. So we see here the second vision, or the third vision, of Zechariah. The third vision of Zechariah is looking at them like their way, or their aim, their plan. God has a plan for them to get back to Jerusalem, for them to get to his promise, that he's promised them years and years ago. Because he's promised restoration of his people. Verse 5 to 9 say, not only do you go and rebuild. Now, if we were like the people of Israel, going through all, having been through all of this, the people surround themselves, hey, there was apostasy, there was the effect of all it coming, and now you are promised, how much will you take the promise? But God does not pay. He always continues, and he continues not only, but he protects as well. Why he says to rebuild the wall, he also says, I will, let's read verse 5 to 9. For I, say the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around earth, and I will be the glory in its midst. The protection, divine protection, the power, up, flee from the land of the Lord, say the Lord. For I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, say the Lord. Up Zion, escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus say the Lord of hosts, he sent me of the glory to the nation which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Now, can we see the combination of two of them? Reminding us Zechariah and the people of Israel has been under hard time, sometimes even attacked, and you tell them to leave the place. What to leave? To leave Babylon. To flee. To flee? What is Babylon? The wrongdoers. God will deal with wrongdoers. He sent them to get out. He will deal with them. Go back to Jerusalem. For the child who also is fit to resent inquiries. Faith as precious lesson. That's to see the future of Zion and many nations. The people must have very strong faith. Many, they have to flee the sin and to come back to God. God will deal with the wrongdoers, but will also teach them, his children, how he will deliver his dearest one, his loved one, and while he deal on punishing the wrongdoers, he deal on saving the righteous one. Anything? Anything more?
Just concerning the wall of fire, there's a cross reference to Psalm 125. Verse 2, yes. Which says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore.
Okay. Verse 2, 1 to 5 and 2, verse 8. One from Prophet and King, one from Education. Prophet and King said, God commanded that Jerusalem be rebuilt. The vision of the measuring of the city was an assurance that it would give comfort and strength to his afflicted one, and fulfill them the promises of his everlasting covenant. His protecting care, he declared, would be like a wall of fire about. Though, and through them, his glory be revealed to all the sons of men. God deal with the wrongdoers. For the child who is quick to resent injury is safe as precious lesson. The disposition to resist evil and to avenge wrong is often prompted by a keen sense of justice, an active, energetic spirit. Let such a child be told that God is the eternal guardian of the right, of right. He has a tender care for the being whom he has so loved as to give his dearest beloved to save. He will deal with every wrongdoer or doer. That's Education, page 5, 256 to 257.
Okay. So we see that here God is giving Zechariah a taste, if we can say, of the future, what it will be for the people of Israel, what it will be for their place, Jerusalem. Now verse 4 says something. We say to him, rise, speak to this young man, say, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as town without walls. Why? Because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. Which means that God is promising them the future is not going to be run there and idea. It's going to be prosperous. It's going to be, they will be blessed. There will be blessings, people and all. That's why the world will be more on fire. For it says, the Lord will be a wall of fire all around Jerusalem. And then, the most important, I will be the glory in the midst. That's what he's trying to show to Zechariah, to teach the people of Israel the aim of God, what he is doing and what he will do. In the past, the people of Israel behavior has been erratic. They were chosen to show the light to the world. They were chosen to show that there is a people who is going to show the way, but they neglected. And Zechariah had to remind them their task. Rebuild the temple. He says, rebuild, because the temple was destroyed. Now if we look at verse 6, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up Zion escape. For you dwell with the daughter of Babylon. And we have the two controversies. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nation which plunder you. For he who touches you, to touches the people of his eyes. That way it comes to dealing with the wrong word. Those who attack Israel, God protect them.
There's a promise in Ezekiel chapter 36 related to it. 9-11, I can read. It says, for indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, and the house of Israel, all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the ruin rebuilt. I will multiply you, men and beasts, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginning. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So, it's a promise for Zechariah.
I will read something from this book before I continue from 9 down. Or who will we read from 9 down first? 8. For thus said the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nation which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing. Look how it comes. Sing, he says. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, I will dwell in the midst of you, says the Lord. What does this remind us? I will come. Is not this talking to us today?
The coming of the Lord.
But prior to the physical coming of the Lord wants to be with us spiritually.
I will come. I am coming. I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. That, in the beginning, was the duty of the people of God. The duty of the people of Israel was to send the light to the world, to bring the light to the world. And we know the old story. But now he's telling them, then you will know. This is Zechariah confirming his message. He is from the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will be in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Now, what does mean the Lord of hosts?
Well,
in several places of the Bible we see this expression, the Lord of hosts. But here we look at Zechariah from the beginning of his second vision, the vision, measuring line. It's like identifying Jerusalem as being the town or the country of the Lord. This is the place. I will dwell among you. This is what he said. But there the door is open, if we can say, for others to come. There will be, verse 4, it talks about, there will be multitude of men, women, and livestock. Now, they can be the people of Israel. They can also be those who's joined and who's met them. So God says, I will dwell amongst you. And this is the same promise he's giving us. He will dwell among us. Verse 12 said, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as an inheritance in the holy land, and will again choose Jerusalem, this time and all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Now I will read what the comment of this book says. The third vision concerns Jerusalem. While it will be a fortified city, at the same time it will be open to receive a great number of people and animals. The extraordinary increase in Jerusalem's population will make wars impossible. Its safety, though, is guaranteed because a supernatural wall of fire will protect it from enemies. How much God thinks of his people and take care. He cares.
There's a reference in Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, and it says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance.
Why he says a wall of fire?
Protection. Permanent protection.
What does that mean?
The Lord is providing that, because there's no need to have a physical wall if the Lord is providing the protection. But the other thing is, of course, that if they're increasing in wealth and numbers, the walls would not be enough to contain them anyway.
Yeah.
But he doesn't only say the wall of fire, he says, and I will be glory in her midst. When he is with us, who can be against us? That's what
has a very special meaning in the Bible. Yes, it is destructive if we look at it on one side. But here we are talking of a protective fire, a safety. It says here, fire in the scripture represents divine presence. So what is Zechariah doing here? Is calling those in exile, those who are still in exile, to return and to join the wall, the work of the rebuilding, because this is a commandment that was given to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. That's why Zechariah got that vision of the measuring line to measure the wall. So here we find Zechariah calling the people to join. I think in verse 6, this is what it says. Yeah. Flee, flee from the land of the Lord, say the Lord, for I have spread you abroad and the four winds of which say the Lord. And then what he said again? As he is inviting them to rebuild the wall, he is also telling them, those in exile, those in, he urges them, the children of Israel, to leave Babylon. Because Jerusalem is the center of God's attention. And what is Babylon? Babylon is totally the controversy, is totally the contrary. So he is urging those people to leave Babylon because Jerusalem is a place where God's people should be. So he will keep, and he promised them, he gives them that promise of protection. He is, you will be the apple of my eyes, he said. The apple of God's eyes. We in the world of today, we know what apple of the eyes means.
That's a very comforting piece of scripture. No matter where we are, he who touches you touches the apple of my eye. Very comforting.
Yes. Yes. You see, it's like he's talking to the people today, the world of today. But we are living in Babylon. And we have the Bible. The Bible is telling us, is giving us the message. God will come out of his holy dwelling in heaven. He said, verse 10, he says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. He is coming.
Two minutes to go.
He is coming out of his dwelling, to be, we will be in his midst, among him. So, the Lord is calling us today as well to think of his return when he comes. The verse says, the Bible says, they will all see the Lord's return and come to acknowledge him. In the universal kingdom, God will call us, and I will say the word us, today, my people, God's power. We all will experience God's power. The temple will be consecrated to make it holy land. That where they will go to the time of the holy temple, the holy land. Unfortunately, I have to stop. When we do chapter 3, we can go back onto that and see. Analyze it out with our time today. When we are again, this message being the temple, it might not be the wall, it might be our wall inside us. What our heart is doing, God is saying, what our belief is, how do we believe? and trust in God at this time. If we go back to the history of the people of Israel, it has not been an easy life for them. All the time they've been going astray, they've been among the people, they've been prisoners, they've been everything. But God has never abandoned them. He is always calling them. And here he is even saying, rebuild my temple to Zechariah and showing Zechariah the future then of the people of Israel, talking to us today, the future of those who choose God. Any comment? I have to stop.
I'd just like to mention the comment from the commentary about verse 13, be silent. It says that in anticipation of these mighty and glorious events, the world is charged to wait in becoming awe and reverence.